Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Awesome. So we want you to be a part of all the things going on around the assembly. And if you have a question about life groups, please see myself or any of the staff after service today. We'd love to point you in the right direction. Well, this is week two of a series called Developing a Courageous Heart. And you may wonder, well, why on earth do I need to develop a courageous heart? Here's why. Because God has a life for you to live that's beyond ordinary life. It's just like that scripture you read. There's life, and then there's true life. There's life, and then there's abundant life. And for us to step from regular living into abundant living, from regular life into real life or true life, it takes a little bit of courage on our part to step into the things that God has for us. And by the way, God has a real great and true abundant life for you. How many know that this morning? He really does. Matter of fact, last night, my wife went out to this secondhand shop kind of place, and she was going shopping, and we've been talking about getting our daughters one of these Barbie castles, not like a Barbie castle, but like a Barbie castle, right? You know what I'm talking about? The ones that are about as tall as I am, because that's what my kids need, right? It's what your kids need, by the way, if you have two young girls. And so we've been kind of shopping, but the problem is we didn't want a Barbie castle that came with a house payment. And so we've been kind of shopping for a while. And so Megan found one at this secondhand shop. She got home. She wanted to put it together, and she got it put together last night, around 10 o'clock. And the girls were asleep, and we just kind of looked at each other, and we're like, man, when she gets up in the morning, those girls are going to see this. They're going to be amazed. This is going to be wonderful. And we thought, man, we wish we could see the expressions on their face, but we'll probably be in the shower or asleep. And so we thought, we just couldn't wait. Any parents in the room, you just can't wait to give your kids stuff when you buy it. I'm just so at 10 o'clock last night, guess what we did? We went, we woke Stella up, and we wanted to show her what we had for her. You know, waiting another 8 hours, it just wasn't good enough. And so we had to kind of wake her up, and it wasn't like we had to work to wake her up so she could see and enjoy. And I just tell you, sometimes I believe God is the same way. He has things prepared for you. He's just trying to get you to wake up. He's trying to get you to understand that there is abundant life, but in order for you to have this abundant life, you got to have a courageous heart that awakens to the things of God. So we're in week two of awakening to this life God has for us, and He does have power for you. He does have strength for you. He does have resource for you that's beyond your own resources. And last week we began to talk about that. And this morning, I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, What Do These Stones Mean? Maybe you walked in the room this morning, you saw this pile of stones, and you thought, I wonder what that's about. Matter of fact, we were in men's prayer this morning, early around 7:30, and someone said, hey, what's up with the stones? What's up with the rocks on the platform? We're going to read what they're about this morning, because they have a message to us that I want you to get this morning. In Joshua chapter 1, let me just give you the back, or Joshua chapter 4, last week we kind of talked about the backstory of this. The people of God had been in slavery for about 400 years. They've been going through a season. This isn't some kind of literary device. They were literally in slavery for 400 years, not doing what they wanted to do, doing what they had to do, not living with an abundance, living with lack, and not living the life that God really had for them. He had a gift for them. He had the promised land for them, but they didn't have it yet because really, really, the real reason they didn't have it is because they didn't have a courageous heart to step out and trust God. And so they've been walking. God freed them from slavery, but they've spent the last 40 years walking in circles in the wilderness, because 40 years before this moment we're about to read, when Moses sent some spies in to spy out the land, instead of being courageous and saying, we can do this, like Joshua did, like Caleb said, they listened to the rest of them that said, no way possible. And now Moses is dead. Everyone who was there 40 years earlier, they've died along the road. Now there's this new generation that raises us, has arisen. And God is speaking to them, saying, listen, it's time for you to cross over and begin living the life I have for you. And here's what happens in Joshua chapter 4. It says, the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan. And the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, now go over before the ark of the Lord into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take a stone up on his shoulder according to the number of tribes and Israelites to serve as a sign among you. And in the future, your children will ask you, let's say this phrase together, what do these stones mean? And then you're going to tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordans were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp. And when they put them down, Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who had carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they're there to this day. Father, I pray in the next minutes of time that you'll help us develop a courageous heart, a heart that believes boldly to run after, live after, seek after every promise you have for us. And God, I just pray from the beginning of this message, forgive us for when we settled for less than what you have for us. Lord, let us be courageous people. Let us be courageous enough to grab a hold of every promise you have for us. So Lord, help me to speak the words that you want spoken. Help us to hear by your Spirit every word you want us to hear. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody in the room said amen. So last week we made this statement. I hope you heard it. I hope you remembered it. That going forward with God always requires courage. Why? Because the call of God, the direction of God, obeying God, simply put, obeying God often seems scary at the moment. Whether we're talking about giving or living or witnessing or just trusting Him by doing the right thing in a moment where everyone else is doing the wrong thing. Obeying God often seems scary. It often seems contrary to what is natural, which means it takes courage to do what feels not natural. And Joshua is getting ready to lead the people of God across the Jordan River. And just for knowledge sake, you know, the Jordan at this moment, at certain times of the year, you can walk across. As a matter of fact, my sister and many of you have actually been there. She brought me pictures back. And it is wadeable at some points of the river. But this is not just an ordinary day, ordinary season. This is the flood season. So the banks of the Jordan are way beyond what is normal, and what is once at certain times of life possible is now impossible. Let me just ask you, have you ever had some impossible moments in your life? Ever had some impossible moments in your marriage, impossible moments in your finances, impossible moments maybe in your walk with God where you sense God telling you to do something or try something and you're thinking this is impossible? That's where the people of God are. They followed Him. They follow Joshua. They know that the promise for their life is on the other side of this river, but yet to get from here to there is impossible. Can I tell you, God has an answer for you when you face impossible moments. The title of this message is, what do these stones mean? Here's what they mean. They mean when you come to an impossible moment, those stones remind you that we serve the God who does the impossible today. Amen? What He's done before, He'll do again. See, you don't set up memorials. You don't set up stones to commemorate when something ordinary happened. Right, they didn't set up these stones because You can cross the Jordan anytime you want to. It's only waist deep. It's no big deal. And so we're going to set up some stones to say, we did something that was no big deal. Right? You don't do that. You only memorialize things that are great, things that are wonderful, things that are significant. Some of you guys in the room, maybe you've had a deer head mounted or a fish mounted. Here's what I've discovered. I don't see a whole lot of three-pointers mounted. Right? I don't see a whole lot of fish like this mounted. Right? When you walk into someone's office and you see some kind of thing, that all you members of PETA, please just get past this moment of the sermon. I'll get back with you in just a moment. But I need to speak to those, you know, guys in the room and maybe ladies too. But when you see things mounted or memorialized, what do you see? You see something extraordinary. You see something that's memorable, something that you want other people to know. Look what I did. What do these stones mean? I'm about to get in my message, but these stones means this, that God wants what he's done known. Matter of fact, that's the first point this morning, if you got your notes, is that God desires for his deeds to be proclaimed. When God brings his people across the Jordan, about probably somewhere around 1.5 to 2.5 million people, he moves through this flooded river from where they couldn't get to where he wanted them to be. When he brings them through, he says, Joshua, when I do this, I want you to stop and set up some stones because I want people to know what I've done for you, and I don't want you to forget what I've done for you. Would someone just admit that you have a memory problem in the room today? I don't know if it's the aspartame and the Diet Dr. Peppers that I drink, but I'm just telling you that my memory has like slipped lately. It's like if it's not on my phone, it's not going to happen. It's like my brain has been, like the bigger my phone memory gets, the smaller my brain capacity. It's just like they're working against each other or with each other or something. But when we have good news, we like to share it, right? I haven't talked about the Razorbacks today because I don't have good news from yesterday. Last week I was talking about it, but this week I'm kind of being quiet. But here's what God said, I want you to set up these stones because what I've done for you, I want it to be repeated. Do you know what God has done for you needs to be repeated? God wanted these stones to be a conversation starter for every generation that followed Joshua. Can I tell you, each of us in this room, if you're a Christ follower, there should be some of these moments in your life. Matter of fact, let me reword this. If you're a Christ follower this morning, there are some of these moments in your life. Because the moment you went from being a sinner to a saint, the moment you went from being lost to found, from blind to being able to see because of the mercy and the salvation of Jesus, that's the moment that God wants you to rehearse and display. He wants you to stack up some stones in your life and say, look what God has done for me. Amen? And we naturally share good news with people. But for some reason, we feel like when it's something that God's done for me, when it comes to my salvation or living for Christ, for some reason we've bought into this lie, well, that's a private matter. Maybe it's because our culture as a whole is saying they don't want to hear anything about Jesus. But can I tell you, just because they don't want to hear it doesn't mean they don't need to hear it. And they need to hear it from you. They need to hear it from you. Every good thing that God's done in your life should be a conversation starter. If he saved your marriage, that needs to be a conversation starter around the water tank at work. If he's moved in your finances, that needs to be a conversation starter. When you hear someone else talking about how gloom and despair they are. Matter of fact, the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 9, he says, I'm going to praise the Lord with all of my heart, and I will tell of all the wonderful or marvelous deeds that God has done. Psalms 26 says, I'm going to raise my voice in thanksgiving and declare all of your wonderful works. You know, sometimes we come to this worship service like this morning, and wasn't this morning's worship service just powerful this morning? Can we give our worship team a hand of appreciation? Amen. Man, they've been They've been working hard to lead us in worship, and I appreciate them. But sometimes we can come to the house of worship, and we can walk in, and we can think things like this. I know you don't think these things because you're too spiritual, but some people walk in, and they think things like this. Man, I hope they play my favorite song today. Or I hope they do good today. Or I hope they're not too long today. Or I hope they're not too short today. I hope they're not too loud today. I hope they're not too soft today. I hope the worship is just the right blend of my preferences. And really, it's not about that at all. The psalmist says, I'm going to live and tell of the goodness and the marvelous deeds of the goodness of the God I serve. I'm just going to walk into service today, and I'm going to lift up my hands as a monument of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And it doesn't matter if the music is loud or soft or not at all. I'm here to live a life that points towards Jesus. Amen. That's what worship is all about. It's about lifting up Jesus. And God said, Joshua, I'm doing this incredible thing for you. And I want you to give me worship. And I want you to give me praise. But I want there to be something that lives beyond you that says, this is what God has done. There needs to be something in your life, in my life, that says, this is something God has done for me. So we got to be people. I'm about to get to the end of my message in the front. But we got to be people that are living lives that builds a testimony. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they will never see it. So what he said? No, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will what? See. They'll see your good works. And think that you are a wonderful, good doer. No. They'll see your good works. And they'll say, man, I know that has nothing to do with Brandy. That has something to do with the God that Brandy serves. But they look right past us, and they see the face of Jesus in us this morning. Amen? I'm encouraging you every week, the last 3 weeks, to be a part of Kingdom Builders. Not because I want our church to be seen or your face to be known, but because I want Jesus to be known. And we're going to do something to build some stones, but point towards Christ. So we got to let our light shine. And these stones, first off, it reminds us that God wants His deeds known. He wants His deeds known. Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and let them know that God wants His deeds known. He wants His deeds known. And so some of you have felt bad. Well, Pastor, if I tell someone what God has done for me, won't it sound like I'm bragging on myself? No, that means you're bragging on God. That's called a testimony. That's called giving the hope that you've received of someone else. Amen? So we gotta understand God wants known to others what He's done for us. I could let you go right now and just say, go forth and do likewise, but I'm not going to do that. Because the second thing these stones say, they remind us that God can roll back the impossibles, the impossibilities in our life. God told Joshua, tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off. Now that's impossible. You can't just walk into the river and the water just flow away on this side and stand up on this side. Stand up so high and so long it begins to flood regions. Everything upriver begins to flood because the people of God are walking across on dry ground. That's impossible. That's what these stones say. Those stones say that God does the impossible. Amen? That's what they say. That's what these stones mean, is that we serve a God that does the impossible. In Joshua chapter 5, the Lord said to Joshua, verse number 9, today I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt, and so from now on you're going to call this place Gilgal. You know what the word Gilgal means? It means to roll away. Gilgal, they named it that because that's where God rolled back the waters. And so He told Joshua, I want you to set these stones, and we're going to call this place Gilgal, because that's the place where I rolled something back. Well, what did God roll back? Well, the first thing, the obvious thing, I think A in your notes, is that he rolled back the waters. That first impossible thing was he did what said he couldn't be done. And why did God tell Joshua to set up these stones? Because he said, one of these days, you're going to have kids. And how many know what a three-year-old's favorite question is? Why? And God told Joshua, one of these days, you're going to have a three-year-old. And you're going to walk by here, and he's going to see those stones. And he's going to say, Dad, why? Someday you're going to have a foreigner from a different land, some faraway place like Texas, come by. And they're going to say, why? And you're going to have to tell them. Remember, God wants his deeds done. And you're going to tell them, this is the place where God rolled back the impossible situation from my life. Well, why on earth does God want us to tell his deeds? Joshua doesn't receive this word from God because God wants future generations to be historians. He tells them to set up these stones because he wants future generations not to be historians, but rather to be history makers. Because he wants future generations to know the God that rescued Joshua can still rescue them today. It's the place where God rescued them, but it's also the same God that will rescue you today. These stones mean that God can move the impossibilities in your life and my life too. It's a reminder that God is mighty. There's nothing too hard from you. It's a reminder that God is faithful. He always keeps his word. For 40 years, the people of Israel were wondering, is God ever going to keep his word? Is he ever going to deliver us? It's a reminder that God is eternal, that what he does in our life isn't just for now, but it's forever. And what God is doing in your life today, friends, though it is great and he is faithful, it is more than just about you. It's about him. So these stones mean that God can roll the waters back, which means that I've got to believe. Hope you believe this today. These stones remind us that I've got to believe that God can do the impossible today. Now, I think everyone in this room would raise your hand and say, I believe God does the impossible. Right? But how many believe that God does the impossible today? And I think everyone would raise their hand and says, I believe that God does the impossible. But how many would keep your hand raised and say, but I believe God will do the impossible for me. Amen? Sometimes it's easy to believe God do the impossible for someone else. But Joshua says, I want you to build these stones because I want people to know that what God has done for me, he will do for them. And what God has done for others, he will do for you. And what God has done before, he will do today. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. Listen, the Word of God is not just a history book to be memorized. It is a roadmap of what God wants to do in your life today. It really is. God rolled back the impossibilities. He also rolled back, chapter 5 says, he rolled back the reproach or the shame of Israel. It's been said that God got Israel out of Egypt in one night, but it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of them. How many heard that before? Because sometimes when you've been in slavery so long, even when you're set free, you still live like a slave. You still think like a slave. You still act like a slave. It's not that you're not free. It's that you don't know how to act free. You haven't developed a courageous heart that says, who the Son set free is free indeed. I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer in chains. I might look that way. You might see the scars on my wrist or around my ankles, but I'm a free person because of who the Son sets free. It's free indeed. They were free, but they didn't know how to act free. Some in this room, you are as saved today as you're. I'm not trying to, I hope you don't get depressed, but you're not ever going to get any more saved than you are right now. Right? When you were born, you either had a heartbeat or you didn't. You're either alive or you're not. The problem is sometimes we're alive and we don't act like it. We're free and we don't act like it. God delivers these people, but they're still carrying around the shame, the reproach of all their failure. 40 years of just walking in circle, thinking, man, I'm walking. I mean, there's some good things. My shoes aren't wearing out. There's some good things. I wake up every morning and God's got a buffet of manna that falls from the sky. That's pretty nice, but I still have to get down. I'm in the situation I'm in because I didn't trust God when I was supposed to trust God. And there, have you ever felt bad about something in your past beyond the moment that you did it, even though you knew God had forgiven you of it? That's where the whole nation is. But God says, listen, I want you to stack those stones up because I'm rolling back the shame and the reproach of all their past. Now, the way he did that was through this. He did a little bit of cosmetic surgery on them that we call circumcision. How many want to sign up? Right? All the ladies in the room are thinking, you got to do what you got to do. All the men are thinking, wait just a minute. But here's the good news, guys. The New Testament says that circumcision is not a matter of your physical body, it's a condition of your heart. But whether you're going to be physically circumcised or you're going to let God do a little bit of circumcision, a little bit of surgery of your heart, did you know it takes one word for both situations, and that one word is this: surrender. You got to say, Lord, here I am. Do whatever needed surgery is needed in my life to cut out this shame and this reproach and this part of Greg that needs to go away, that needs to lose its voice and lose its tongue and lose its dominance over me. Lord, just cut that out so I can be exactly who you want me to be. So here I am, Lord, search me and try me. And Lord, you deal with that part of me that says doesn't need to be there any longer. That's what it takes. And it's at this moment that God began to do some surgery on the people of God. They submitted themselves to the Lord, and when they came out of that place of submission, they were able to do what they couldn't do before because they let God do some surgery on them. Listen, God's wanting to do some heart surgery on you this morning. But it takes you surrendering to him. That's why Romans chapter 12 says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We gotta let God do that. Third, this morning. Let God roll back the shame in your life. But God also, what do these stones mean? It means that God rolled back the manna. Now, as a kid, I used to not like this part of the story. I grew up going to church on Sundays and going to Sunday school, and our teacher had these little felt board characters made out of paper you put on this little thing, and y'all don't know anything about this, but he would, you know, and all these pictures, and they would get to this point of the story and say, this is where the manna, a little kind of like rice in the felt board thing, this is where it stopped going. And all of a sudden, every morning they wake up, there's manna on the ground, you go out, you pick it up, all of a sudden the manna stopped. And I thought, that sounds kind of cool. I mean, I kind of wish I had that. No more Walmart pickup. No more Walmart at all. You just walk out in your front yard every morning. I got supper. But it was the same supper every day. Same breakfast every day. But God began to roll back the manna from their life. You may be wondering, well, Greg, is that a good thing? Yeah, it's a good thing, because here's the deal. Every time God rolls back a source in your life, it's because he's got a better source for your life. See, the reason God got them out of Egypt was because Egypt was always the place of lack. It was the place of not enough. It was a place where they were always starving. They were always being misused and abused and ridiculed. It was a place of slavery. It was a place of not enough. But then God brought them into the the wilderness where God took care of them. He gave them manna every morning. But the manna was just what? It was just enough. Right? You couldn't save enough for tomorrow, except for on the weekends. You couldn't save enough. It was just enough. But then God moves into the place where He's moving, want to move you. To where you're not living on just enough, but you're living on more than enough. But the only way God can get you to trust Him and experience a life of more than enough is when you take a step of courage between having just enough and more than enough. You got to trust Him that He is now the God who's able to do immeasurably more than all I could ask, think, or imagine. So this is a place where they remember, you know what? God took us from a place that wasn't enough to a place that was just enough, to a place that was more than enough. And the God that has done that work in my life, He'll do it again. He'll provide for me and He'll provide for you today. And here's the last thing that those stones mean, or the last thing I'm going to talk about those stones meaning this morning. It's found in Joshua chapter 5, verse number 1. I want to ask you to read along with me on the screen. On your mark, get set, go. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up Jordan before the Israelites until they crossed over, their hearts melted in fear and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. You know what the last thing that happened? What's the last thing these stones mean? It means that God had rolled back the courage of the enemy. Sometimes you think, you know, Pastor, I've trusted God, I've obeyed God, and I can't tell anything's happened. Let me tell you what's happening in the moment so you don't feel like anything's happening. Is God is defanging that enemy who's like a roaring lion seeking to devour your life. You feel like all I've done, it was faithful today. All I did was serve Him today. All I did was trust Him today. And I don't see any difference. But friends, what you can't see is what's happening to the enemy every moment of your life that you choose to trust God. Something happened across the Jordan while they were crossing the Jordan. I want to tell you today that walking in obedience scares two people. You ever been scared trusting God? If your answer is no, I'm not trying to burst your bubble. That's just evidence. You just testified to yourself that I haven't really trusted God like I'm supposed to. Because trusting God is scary. Oftentimes, there's scary moments. Trusting God scares two people. When you walk in obedience, number one, it scares you as you walk in obedience to God. But secondly, it scares the enemy as he sees you trusting God, because he knows the moment of your obedience is the moment of his defeat. And some of you have been given the devil notice that he's defeated because you've been obeying God for years and your moment of crossover is coming today. It's coming. When you obey God, it doesn't just take courage on your part, but it robs the enemy of his courage. And third this morning, Megan, if you'll come, what do these stones mean? They remind us that we need to begin stacking our own stones of God's faithfulness. If you go back and read chapter 4 and chapter 5 this afternoon, you're going to find out that Joshua didn't actually make one monument like this. He actually made two. One of them God told him to make on the other side of the Jordan. The other one Joshua just decided to make. As far as we know, God didn't tell him to do this. But he didn't just take 12 stones from the place where the priests were standing. He also made another monument where the priest was standing. Now, let me give you a test real quick. See how much you were listening. When they got ready to cross the river, Was it at its low point or at the flooded point? So when I read that, okay, Lord, you told them to make one set where they camped out that night. And Joshua just took upon himself to make another stack of stones where the priest stood. Lord, that place is underwater. As soon as the waters came back, that second memorial would be underwater. No one would ever know it's there. So why on earth did Joshua decide to stack some stones that no one would ever see? And after reading the scripture, it kind of dawned on me that eventually the waters would go back to normal, and what no one could see in the moment, they could see later. Some of you today, God's wanting you to live a life that maybe no one sees today. But if you live it long enough, someone's going to see it later. Some of you have been serving God for decades, and your kids are just going crazy, and they're walked away from faith, and not serving God, and you've wondered. It's like Joshua's altar that he built immediately. It doesn't look like it's been of any use. It's covered by water. But eventually, someday, when that kid was over there where they camped out and said, "Well, what do these stones mean?" Well, son, this is where God rolled back the impossible. And that's where he rolled back the reproach and the shame. And that's where he rolled back the manna. And we went from just living on enough to where now we have more than enough. I got a feeling that kid probably looked across the river and said, "Well, what about those stones?" And that dad would say, "Well, that's where great, 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 great grandpa Joshua just took it upon himself to make another set of stones. And those stones represent where we started. And these represent where God has brought us." I think some of you today, you need to start stacking some stones in your life, stones of faithfulness, stones of generosity, stones of persistence, stones of unity. Did you notice Joshua didn't pick them all up by himself? God said, "I want somebody from every tribe of this nation to be involved. This isn't something one person does. This is something we all do together." And you start making commitments to God. I'm not going to tell you what those are. The Holy Spirit will do a much better job at that than I could do. But you start stacking those stones. Can I tell you today? What you decide today will be the beginning of something great. That 10 years from now or 20 years from now, somebody's going to be asking you, "How on earth did God do something great for you like this?" And your answer will be, "Because I trusted Him in moments like that." We all want to have the moment on the side of the river of the promised land. But for you to have this moment, you got to have some moments over here where you say, "God, I don't know what it's going to be like over there. I haven't even been there myself yet. Lord, there's still 500 or a million people that got to get across this thing, but I'm just going to keep on stacking stones because I believe that you're going to keep your word, and I believe it's going to be like you said it would be, and I believe your promises are yes and their amen is spoken by me. I believe that you're going to keep your word to me, so I'm going to stack these stones in faith that you're going to keep your word." If you want to have stones of faithfulness, you also got to set up some stones in faith that God's going to do it. So I don't know which side of the river you're on this morning. Maybe you're over here and say, "Pastor, I'm just starting out." Start out trusting God. Start out making choices that says, "I know on the other side." Or maybe you've been doing this thing for a long time and you've been serving God for decades, and you can, when you look in your past, you don't just see a stone of where you started. You see memorials over here and memorials back there and memorials 10 years ago and 5 years ago, because God's been faithful. You just can't tell it all, right? But I want to tell you, keep stacking stones. Keep laying foundations of faithfulness in your life, because God's not done with you. God's not done with you. Keep doing it. Acts chapter 17. You may be wondering, how on earth, Pastor Stackett, what on earth does that mean? Acts chapter 17. I'll read this scripture to you and I'll quit. "For in Him we live and we move and we have our being." Every time I live my life just acknowledging Jesus, I'm stacking stones. I'm building an altar. I'm living a life that points towards Him. I want to ask you, by your heads this morning, three questions I want to ask you real quick, and I promise I'm going to be quick. Question number one, if you're in the room today, say, "Pastor, I'm not serving Jesus. I'm not serving Jesus. I've never committed my life to Him. Maybe you have no interest in doing so whatsoever when you walked in the room today. Or maybe you've just been flirting with the idea for decades, but you know you're not serving Jesus today. You say, Pastor, I need to start serving Jesus. Beyond the words of this preacher, you've just sensed the Spirit of God drawing you, saying, this is your day to get things right with me. Would you just lift a hand real quick? Says me, Pastor, pray for me. I need to give my life to Jesus today. I need to start following him today. Amen. Amen. Who else today? Secondly, this morning, you need God to do the impossible in your life. You've walked in this morning and you're like the children of Israel standing at the Jordan River. You need that thing to part. You need God to make a way where it seems to be impossible. Can I tell you what those stones mean? They mean that what God has done for others, he'll do for you. What he's done before, he'll do again. But you need God to do it again. Maybe you've seen God do miracles in your life before, but you need him to do it again. I'll just testify, to me, the greatest, the most scariest and hardest trial I've ever faced is always the one I'm in today. You need God's help today. Would you say, Pastor, pray for me. Lift your hand real quick. I need the waters to part, fresh and new. Amen? Amen? I tell you, God is faithful this morning. And third, look at me all across this room. I apologize, I haven't gotten any better looking, but look at me real quick. All of us in this room, we got to start stacking stones. Jesus wants his deeds to be made known through the life that you live. We got to honor him. Every time you honor Jesus, you know what you're doing? You're living a life that points towards him. What do those stones mean? They mean that I serve a God who does wonders. And he doesn't just want to do it for me. He wants to do it for you. All of us in this room, we all need to commit. This is an all play this morning. There's no, that's somebody else. No, this is all of us. We all need to live our life in a way that is pointing future generations and present generations to Jesus Christ. And we all need the help of the Lord to lead us and guide us and tell us, Joshua didn't just have a great idea. Hey, I think I'll set up some stones. No, God told him, listen, do this. This is how your life is going to testify to others. Listen, God has a way that he wants your life to testify to others. And we got to be about it. We got to be saying, Lord, open doors for that. Show me what it is, and I'm going to follow you. And some of us, we know exactly what it is, and we've laid it down, and we've been discouraged, and we've been busy. And listen, no, pick up. Start off where you left off. God wants to use you. If you join me by standing all across this room this morning. If you lifted your hand for salvation, in just a moment, we've got some prayer partners that are going to be standing right over here to my left. When I get done with this prayer, if you lifted your hand and say, I'm going to start serving Jesus today, would you come right up here? There's going to be a couple of people to meet you right here and pray with you and give you a book. Tell you what to do, how to serve God. They're going to talk to you about serving God. So if some done praying, come meet with them. If you're a guest today, I'd love to meet with you personally. After service right here, just say welcome. But for all of us in this room, what do these stones mean to you today? Do they mean that you need to trust God more? Do they mean that you need to start stacking them some more in your life because you've been kind of apathetic? What do these stones mean to you? Whatever the Holy Spirit is saying they mean to you, why don't you just take that to the Lord in prayer right now as I pray over you. Father, I love you. I thank you for who you are this morning. Lord, I pray for those who lifted their hands saying they're in desperate need of salvation for you this morning. God, I'm thankful that your word welcomes us. Lord, I'm thankful that, Lord, you did live that sinless life and die that sacrificial death, and you rose again on the third day that we can have life and life abundant. Lord, we believe you're alive today and you're going to live forever. And that right now we have opportunity to take hold of that abundant life you purchased for us by just asking you to come in. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from our past. And from this day forward, we're just deciding today we're going to follow you, Jesus. We're following you. God, I pray for those who are making that decision today, that those just keep following you from this point on. God, I pray for those who are facing moments of impossibility. I'm thankful that you are the way maker. Lord, you are the one that can make impossible things look easy. You can take those things that look uncrossable and make a way where it doesn't seem possible. Lord, do it for your people today. Lord, work miracles in their life. Heal impossible diseases to be healed this morning. Do it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak against cancer. I speak against heart disease. I speak against addiction this morning. Lord, whom the Son sets free is completely free. I just speak freedom and healing over every person who lifted their hand this morning. Lord, every impossible situation they're facing, Lord, make a way for them today. And for every one of us in this room, Lord, help us to live a life that points others towards you. Let my daily life be raised in a memorial, a road sign. Let my daily life be a declaration of who you are, Jesus. That those around me, and even those that may hear about me a generation from now, will hear about the goodness of the God I serve. So Lord, let that come to pass in every life, in every person in this room today. And we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.